This is the Pomp and Pony Podcast, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Here's Bob Pompieni from KDKA-TV and Andrew Filipponi from 93.7 The Fan.
That's the one and only Andrew Filipponi is here. Bob Pompieni sitting aside from him, just back from a golf trip, which featured a lot.
What's going on with your hair right now?
My hair. My hat back on. I wish you didn't have to bring that up. It's not supposed to be public knowledge. The lettuce got a little mangy last night. I woke up
so
late.
You had a whole golf week.
The weather's been beautiful, Andrew.
Yes, it has been.
I know you don't play, or if you do, you don't play frequently enough.
No. Nope.
Like your partner, Muller, he plays a lot and he likes it. He's bitten by it. So does Zeiss, so does Colin, so does Hathorn. A lot of these guys are on it. Golf's a great sport. It was a beautiful week. We tried to take advantage. And there was a great event called Folds of Honor.
Yep.
Up at Laurel Valley, which helps military families who've lost, you know, one of their spouses, and it helps them with educational opportunities and all sorts of other things. And they raised a lot of money. It was a great event to be at. However.
But there's a backstory. There's a story within the story here.
The
from
story
this.
Within the story. The Paul Zeiss was up as part of a fan group.
Yeah.
And our station here did a good job supporting that Folds of Honor by buying a group. And it's not cheap. And so he was up there playing. And it's a beautiful day. I mean, you talk about tranquility, therapy. You get walking up there, man, you forget about all your troubles.
Uh-huh.
Except when you create your troubles. And
yep.
Paul Zeiss taking pictures of everything instead of concentrating on
his the shot game. Ahead of him.
Yeah.
And this was an important tournament, too, right? There were high stakes involved.
Oh, yeah. A lot of things going on there. So he somehow lost his phone, which when he said that he lost it, we figured it was close by. It has to be somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Well, he then just took off and missed a few shots because he was looking frantically for his phone, wasn't sure where it was. Now, of course, it's on silent because when you go to the golf course, you know, there's no way to know. You could bring a phone. Anyway, he didn't find it. He went home miserable that night.
How did he play the rest of the round?
You know, you can tell he had the weight of the shoulders on him because he, you know how it is when you lose your phone. You don't want to lose your phone.
But this is there a once in a lifetime you... thing to play Laurel Valley, and he wasn't even able to enjoy it from the sounds.
No.
And how about the beautiful reception, dinner, banquet afterwards?
Yeah, he was there, but his mind was elsewhere. In fact, he couldn't enjoy that even. Rocking chairs overlooking, cigars, beautiful scenery at Ligonier. You
know. He's just freaking out over
so
his phone.
So for 2 days he went by. So last night I got a text from him from another person's phone. Hey, if you find this, let me know. I said, I haven't yet. I'm asking a lot of people. Another text coming in. Have you found it? No. No, no, no. So today.
So that's why Zeiss has been off of Twitter for so long.
Right.
Which is very unlike him. Highly unusual.
Well, I was thinking when I found it, can I tweet from his phone if I got into it? And I was going to have some fun with it. Then I thought, that's pretty irresponsible, so I can't do that. But I did finally get in touch with him. Someone found it this morning. One of the golfers had to hit a shot, and, you know, it tells you a lot about Zeiss's game because it was in the woods where he found the phone.
Which should have been the first place Zeiss looked.
We were looking in the fairway. Shouldn't have looked there in the rough. No, no, it was farther right.
So I wonder what happened. Did it fall out of his pocket? Did it fall out of the car?
Well, he was taking pictures. You know, that's a great
place. He put
place
it down
to
maybe
pictures.
To hit the ball maybe, and then he never
too.
Picked it back up.
Which it's like leaving behind a drink or something. You know, you often do that.
Head covers and clubs get left on courses all the time. I've
the
never
time.
Seen
phones. Starkey's done that to me a lot, yes. And this phones are phones. They can be lost. And when they're silent, and then when it was found, the battery was, of course, dead.
Yep.
So there was no way of knowing whose this was. I went back and I charged it in their clubhouse, and I saw the picture on
the background.
Yeah. So I
what's the wallpaper?
It's him and Dick Grote.
Oh. I thought you were going to say it was like Pamela Anderson or something.
It could have been. I would have known it's his phone if that were the case, too. No, but Paul, we got it for you. You're good. You don't have to worry about it.
Are you pessimistic about the Steelers on Sunday?
I'm not, only because I think somehow this sounds to me like an ugly win. You know, one of those games they know they have to win. You can't go to 1-4. Denver has its issues as well. Not sure about, I guess, Teddy Bridgewater's going to play, but, you know, how effective will he be? They've lost some guys. They have a good run game, and I'm worried about that. The Steelers can't be able to stop, though. They're better. But I think this is one of those games that they ugly it out and win a game. Low scoring, ugly, field goals determine it, that kind of thing. You?
Do you think it has to be that way?
No, but I think it's going to be that way, and that's a step in the
right. But you think
direction.
If the game's like in the 30s, can the Steelers' offense produce like that?
They
against...
could, but I don't see that right now. They have a lot of things to work out. Yeah, and I'm going to say what I've been saying from the beginning. Run the ball. do it more, regardless of early success or failure, mm-hmm. run the ball and get something going for those young offensive linemen too. Even though I know that some of the numbers metrically tell you they're doing okay in the pass blocking, I don't see that. I see Ben getting hit too much, and I think they got to reduce
that. I agreed with Tomlin, though, coming out of the Green Bay game. I thought the line played well in that game.
Better. Not well. Better.
But he didn't really get, other than the fumble play, he didn't really get hit that much.
Not in that game, no.
But and again, they ran the ball when they wanted to, and they abandoned it, and they stopped doing it. Right. But when they wanted to run the ball, Najee had 10 yards early, third and short. They never run the ball and get a first down on third and two. They did it. I mean, they were doing things that we haven't seen the Steelers run game do in a long time.
But again, at the end of the day, when you look back at it, and the excuse often is thrown out there, well, we're not in the game early. Well, yes, you are. And most of these games are not determined until the fourth quarter. If you're down three scores in the fourth quarter, that's different.
They were in the game for three quarters.
Exactly. So if you look at the run pass differential, it's always 45 to 58 passes.
Yeah.
It's 12 to 20 runs or less. It's got to be better than that with a guy of that talent.
You know, this game for me is about, is the Steelers defense as good as advertised? That's what this game comes down to for me.
When healthy they are.
Because all offseason we thought about if they get the Watt deal done and everything's in place, they got Schobert late, they made moves to solidify that side of the ball, they should have one of the best defenses in the NFL, and they showed it in the Buffalo game. And really, whether it's injury or whatever, they haven't played anywhere close to that since. And the two guys I have circled for this game, Bob, are Minkah and Devin Bush. Come on. It's time with both of those guys. Would you agree with that?
Totally.
I think both
Bush
of those guys.
Now, Minkah hasn't made a play of substance or significance in quite some time. Now, the block kick last week and he returned it for a touchdown, that would have been one. But since that didn't count, it hasn't really made one. And he's gotten burned. The Henry Ruggs play is still going to kill them. They were back in that game.
Well, how about Randall Cobb, too, caught a touchdown pass with him in coverage?
But I think Devin Bush, more to your point, is a guy. You know, he has to, at some point, stop with the label of where he's still a young guy. It's his third year. It's time. And he's injured, yes, but he's out there playing. He's got to be better. And quite frankly, Joe Schobert hasn't been worth what they did.
And you know what struck me about this week, getting ready for this game, is that Keith Butler talked on Wednesday, and he said, the best weapon in the passing game for Denver is Noah Fant. You know why Noah Fant is relevant to the Steelers?
Because they can't cover in the inside.
That's the guy that the Broncos picked
exactly.
In the trade, right. So the Steelers moved up to get Bush. The Broncos moved back. They got Noah Fant. I think they used the other pick on Drew Lock, which obviously didn't pan out. But, you know, you made a deal with this team to get what you thought was your Ryan Shazier replacement. And outside of flashes here and there, I just have not been impressed with him enough, Bob. And I don't know,
Me either.
You know, the torn ACL, it takes a year to recover. The scary thing about that for me is he's a guy that's not big enough. If his whole game and calling card is speed, if he never gets back to that point, well, then what kind of player are you left with?
Not a good enough one. And he's not good at determining where he needs to go in the pass game either. He seems at times lost. Schobert does too. Schobert's made a few good plays, but given what they expected, or at least what I expect, I don't know what you expected.
He made one good play in the end zone where he broke up a touchdown.
That's right, and that was in a Green Bay game. But other than that, I haven't remembered much. Devin Bush has to be the man, and I don't know about his speed. I haven't seen it on display yet, and I don't know if it's still being held back a little because of the recovery of this injury. But if he doesn't have that, then he better make up for it in other ways. And I don't know that we've seen enough to make you think he can.
And I'm very excited about this game because I feel like the winner will become the leader in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes.
You're still on this
Aaron Rodgers
fest. Because
these are the two teams that have...
You actually think that they're going to give up all that is going to be asked of them in this trade. See, that's where it stops me.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you're willing to give up what looked like it was going to be a top 10 pick where they were when Roethlisberger was injured... If you're willing to give up a top 10 pick for a safety, why wouldn't you be willing to give up multiple first-round picks for a generational Hall of Fame quarterback?
Because the generational Hall of Fame, I'm not convinced, other than the fact he's playing well now, but he's still going to get older, and unless he's sipping in the Tom Brady cocktail, the avocado cocktail for youth, I don't know that he's going to be that guy. You know, I mean, he may break down quickly, too. Who knows? All I know is that's a lot to give up. Now, if they look at this next year and are not committed to Mason or anyone else, and if they believe they can get a quarterback in that first round, if they're high enough to do so, but I don't know if there are any quarterbacks to make me think that's worth it.
Well, exactly. So then you go to next year without a quarterback? It's a question mark?
I bide my time until I think
they don't like throwing away years. Okay. They don't like doing that. That's
no,
just
they
not.
Don't. But they also don't like giving up two number ones plus another player or more. So I don't know. That doesn't seem like a marriage to me. Plus, you're also excluding the fact that how many other teams may be interested, teams that are closer.
But it's not about that for me. It's about what Aaron Rodgers wants. The way he set that deal up, whether you like it or not, he's going to have almost complete control over who he plays for next year. That's why you got to kiss his, probably not a hairy fanny because I bet he waxes it, but you really got to kiss his butt. And Tomlin's.
Do people wax, though?
I did it once.
Your butt?
Did it one time. For a girl. Didn't work out.
No. Why?
I swear to God I did.
Demand it or you
hold
anticipate
on.
Her
hold
needs?
On. You want to hear the story? So it was a Valentine's Day thing, and I got my butt waxed, and I swear to God this is a true story. I said, come in here, and I had her close her eyes and just give it a little touch.
How long
touch
have you known this woman?
Or tap. We'd been dating for probably like 6 months.
So you knew her well enough to know she wouldn't freak out if you know.
She was not.
In other words, this is not a first
date. Let me put it this
situation.
Way: it did not.
Excuse me.
It did not have the intended result. She did not was not as
what
impressed
you,
by
what
it.
What were you trying to show, though?
That I'm willing to, you know, change things up, zest things up, that sort of deal.
So I would then take it. You wax other places except your face. You have the good the good facial hair going. But
now that's really the most.
Do you think someone my age should engage in waxing?
Yes.
No.
I think you should do some. I think it's always good to keep your relationship interesting. And if you think that's something that might spice things up, then I am saying to do it. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Do you
know
not that. Agree with me, though, that spicing things up, very important?
Well, you can spice them out without waxing yourself. I mean, that seems painful for the.
Well,
the
right.
Intended outcome.
But showing some sacrifice.
Let me ask you something. Why do you wax? Is it to enhance?
Well, there was hair there.
Okay. Well, what's wrong with hair? You have hair on your face.
Yeah. They don't like it down there. I guess. All right. Bob, so we're both picking the Steelers to win this game, huh?
Yeah. I think so. Ugly, though.
Yeah.
Do you think ugly?
I think they blow them out. I think they win like
because
20.
Because Denver, to me, is a team that, you know, their one win, or I mean, the three wins are against good, bad teams, or one loss.
The Steelers aren't
a
good team right now.
No, but I think that home, the Steelers with the desperation meter being where it is, I mean, it's hard for me to just say they're good enough to go out and win a game the way you would expect them to, but they are good enough to win a game that they need to win to set up a game next week against Seattle, which is going to be interesting with Russell Wilson's situation. So,
all right, Bob, we'll do it again next week, all right?
Pony, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate your patronage on the Pomp and Pony Wax Cast.
You've been listening to the Pomp and Pony Podcast, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Join us each week for another Pomp and Pony Podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.